We welcome back to the program this morning a guest who's been with us before quite a number of times. Rich Warren is a consumer electronics reviewer and columnist. He has a regular column that appears in the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette. He also writes for other specialty publications in the audio and video world. He's also a host of a little show we have on our FM station, a program that is heard on many other stations across the country called The Midnight Special. So if you like folk music, singer-songwriters, and comedy, if you've never heard the show, you should listen to it sometime. But here on the program, we're going to be talking about what's new in the way of consumer electronics. And his particular area of interest is audio and video, although I think more and more he's had to learn about computers and how they the role that computers play in this whole thing. And in fact, we'll be talking about that some this morning. But if you have questions about DVDs, CDs, TVs, speakers, amplifiers, turntables, any and all of that sort of stuff, all you have to do is give us a call. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. And we also have that toll-free line. It's good anywhere you can hear us, 800-222-9455. Welcome back.
Thank you, David.
Glad to have you here once again. We were just talking a little bit before we came into the studio. It does sound as if computers are going to play an increasing important part in the way we record things, the way we get music, the way we get video.
Yeah, you know, I sort of envy Hank Spies when he comes on here because roofing shingles haven't changed in 50 years very much. But
not much.
Every time I turn around, a month ago today I was at the Consumer Electronics Show, the International Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. In fact, I even moderated a panel on DVD and saw all the newest products and all the new technology. And it's mind-boggling because there are two things that are going to take over home entertainment, and they're already happening. They're already in place, whether you want them or not. One is wireless technology. Now, not the conventional wireless of beaming your stereo around the house using analog, regular analog transmission, but total digital wireless networks where you will be able to have anything anywhere in your house run through your PC or from your stereo system so that in any room you'll still need, of course, an amplifier and speakers, and you have to plug into an AC power supply because the amplifier needs power. But as far as the signal source, you'll be able to have anything going on anywhere in your house from one handheld remote control and probably even control your thermostat, your refrigerator, and everything else from one handheld remote. So if you want to hear music, you press one button, and whether it's coming from your stereo or from your computer, it'll be seamless. You won't know where the music's coming from. It could be internet radio. It could be WILL. It could be any other source of music, CDs, DVD, audio, whatever, MP3s. It's pretty fascinating. And the other thing is virtually every consumer electronics product like receivers or any kind of recording device is going to have built-in computer hard drives. The cost of building these hard drives, which used to be incredibly expensive, I remember I bought the first IBM AT, which I think had an enormous 10 or 20 megabyte hard drive, which cost an enormous amount of money, like $500 or $600 in those days, which was equal to about $3,000 today. Now you can buy a hard drive for your computer for $89.95 that stores 20 gigabytes. Mm-hmm. And the cost of these, IBM makes little hard drives now the size of a small pad of Post-it notes, and it costs $250, and you can put it anywhere, in a cell phone, a computer, in whatever. And these are going to be showing up in consumer electronics entertainment products because then you'll be able to, say you're listening to Focus 580 and the guest sounds really fascinating. You just click one button on your remote and that hard drive grabs the show off the radio and records it. And it's so much easier than using a cassette. It's like the personal video recorders that are showing up for TVs now, except these are going to be even easier and cheaper if you apply them strictly to audio. And you'll have the ability then at some point to say, I want to save this show forever and burn it onto a CD or even a DVD, or just record over it when you've listened to the show a few times or played it for your spouse or whatever. And so that's another thing that's coming down the line. One of the most fascinating products, mobile electronics, the car stereo section of CES, was fascinating because several companies were pushing hard drives for the car. There'll be a hard drive embedded in your dashboard of huge capacity, and it will store all the roadmaps in the United States. So for your navigation system, it will have that instead of having to put individual CD or DVD ROMs into your slot in the dash. And it'll have room for 100 hours of music using MP3 or one of the new audio adaptive audio coding techniques, so that you can drive for 100 hours and have your whole CD collection in your dashboard. And one company was pushing the ability to have a wireless connection between your car and your home PC. And so you could sit at your desk at home downloading MP3s from the internet, from the web, and then send them straight into the CD recorder of the car wirelessly from your office. So you're sitting up in your office, your car's in the garage, and you're telling your CD player in the car what you're going to listen to tomorrow, basically, or the next week. And that will be a seamless kind of thing. Now, that won't be ready for a year or two yet, but it is in the pipeline. And when you have companies the size of Visteon, which used to be the electronics division of Ford, and Delphi, which was the former electronics division of GM, basically, pushing this stuff, you know it's going to happen. I mean, these people have a vested interest in making money off of this. One other product I was truly fascinated by, and I call it the mini-disc killer. One of the beauties of mini-disc, for those who are familiar with this little disc that Sony puts out, is that you can edit, digitally edit, within the recorder. So you can rearrange the tracks and cut things out, add things, etc., very, very simply without a computer. Well, thus far with consumer, with CDR, recordable CDs, you've needed a computer to do that. You have to do it on a hard drive and then transfer it over to CDR. And the home CD recorders don't do that. Well, now Yamaha's introduced a CD recorder with a hard drive. So you record the music you want onto the hard drive. You edit it. You change the order of the songs. You do whatever you want. And when you're happy with it, you press one button and it burns it onto a CD in the same unit. You don't need a computer. It's supposed to be very easy to operate. I haven't seen the operating system, but it's probably fairly simple. So it'll do everything an MD will do, but you'll get a finished CD, which will play in any CD player. So therefore, the one big advantage of mini-disc is sort of negated because mini-disc, of course, you need a mini-disc player to play it on, even though it was a wonderful system. And, of course, the CD you'll be burning on the Yamaha, if you're using full WAV files, is a true high-fidelity CD, or you probably can do MP3 as well, which is a slightly lower fidelity, but you'll fit twice as much music on. That's the other thing, is that they're pushing MP3 for CD-ROMs, so you can have one CD in the car with 10 hours of music. And that will be very convenient. If you're driving from here to Philadelphia or something, you'll have one disc will take you all the way, basically, depending how fast you drive. So that's some of the things that came out at CES last month, and it's pretty fascinating. And I know when I do this show with you, we started doing this about 10 years ago, I guess. And all the calls in those days were strictly about audio video and what kind of antenna should I put on my radio. And, people mentioned things like turntables, whatever they were. And now, the last time I did the show with you, people are calling up asking about their computers. Now, I'm not a computer expert, although I'm pretty familiar with my way around a computer, especially a PC. I'm not a Mac guy, which I hope nobody will hold against me. I think they're great machines. But I cannot always give authoritative answers about computing. So just with that in mind, when people call, I'm willing to answer questions.
Well, all questions are welcome. We have somebody here who's ready to go. Others, if you'd like to give us a call, we're talking with Rich Warren. He's consumer electronics reviewer and columnist. Occasionally he's here on the show. We talk about consumer electronics, particularly audio and video. Got questions? You can call us 333-9455 for Champaign-Urbana, toll-free 800-222-9455. And we have a caller in Champaign on line one. Hello.
Yes. I have a question about speakers. Is it worthwhile to get a really – they're ancient speakers. They may be from the 70s, like 78, but they were awesome in their day. Like they're called ESS. Is it worthwhile to get those fixed? I think they need to be reconed.
Well, yes and no. If you enjoy the sound, probably yes. However, they never will quite sound the same as they did when they were new, even when you have them reconed, because they never have the same cone materials anymore. I have a friend who's going through the same problem. She loved her speakers, and she had them. She had to replace a tweeter, which burned out, and they don't have those tweeters anymore, so they gave her a tweeter that's supposed to work with the speakers, and they sound horrible now. I know which speakers you're referring to, and they had a unique sound and a very airy sound, very nice sound.
It would shake the fillings out of your teeth.
It could do that.
I get noise complaints in other neighborhoods.
Oh, well. Yeah, I know those speakers, yes. You can have them reconed. They'll never quite sound the same. But considering reconing is not a terribly expensive operation, you might want to give it a try and see. And the worst, you're going to be out $50 or $60 usually for reconing. And if that doesn't work, then you can buy new speakers, but you'll never find those again, of course.
These had a really interesting tweeter. They're like a ribbon tweeter.
Yeah, they called them Air Motion or something like that. ESS Heil was the company.
Yeah.
And they were very popular speakers for a number of years. But speaker companies sort of come and go. There are very few survivors that have the same ownership as they were 20 years ago. Even companies are just not making speakers anymore. So I don't know what happened to them. They disappeared about, 10, 12 years ago, I think, and I haven't seen them since.
Huh. I like the idea of having wireless all around the house. That way you could never get off the couch. If you could figure out a way to have the food delivered directly to the couch, you'd never have to move.
Well, they're working on that. Of course, then the nutrition people that David has on his show will tell you that we'll be the most overweight population in the history of the universe.
I don't even want to chew anymore. All right, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for the call. Other questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Has recently anything come along that in the way of speakers that has been revolutionary, or are speakers pretty much haven't really changed in a long time?
Every year, some company has a revolutionary new speaker. I mean, oh, two, 3 years ago, there was this, I forget what it was called, but it was, oh, it was going to change speakers. It was going to, no speakers ever going to be the same. They were this point source speaker. They're going to be incredible. Vanished. It was a phenomenon before that. Oh, this is going to revolutionize speakers. This is the end of the world when it comes to speakers. Vanished. Basically, you can't change the laws of physics. And the laws of physics require you move air to create sound. And while everything else is going digital, the speaker itself has to remain analog, obviously, because your ears are analog. Now, they will eventually have little electrodes in your brain like Frankenstein, and you'll just clamp the digital input to your brain. And because your brain basically is digital, that is, your ears convert the sound to, well, doctors and physicists can argue whether it's really analog or digital is going on in your head, but they convert the analog waves into a electrical signal your brain can interpret, probably analog. But there, until then, you've got to move air to move your ears, to move the eardrum. So there have been some improvements in speakers over the years. Speakers certainly are better now than they were 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I mean, this little company, B&W, came out with a new $300 a pair bookshelf speaker. Now, they've always made a $300 a pair bookshelf speaker for the past 20 years. They've always had a model at that price. And the new ones are so incredibly good compared to the ones they made 10, 12 years ago that you can see they've really improved the technology without changing the price, which is actually unusual for speakers because material costs are the main part of speakers, and those don't go down like electronics do. But I don't think we're going to have any revolutions in loudspeakers. The big revolution, though, is that every single thing in the chain of your home listening environment is going to be digital up to the speakers. I mean, it just will not be analog. In fact, radio stations like WILL, eventually there'll be analog to digital converters right at the back of the microphone. And from the microphone all the way to the transmitter will be digital. And, of course, we'll have digital radio on the ground in 6 months or a year. And so everything will be digital in the entire chain. And analog sources will simply start to fade away. So all video will be digital, all sound will be digital, and there'll be different forms of digital. Obviously, there'll be full fidelity digital, as we have on CD, and there'll be the compressed data-reduced digital. We have MP3s or whatever, but that's the future.
We have several other callers here. Let's go to Carphone, line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I was interested to know more about Carphone, more about digital cameras and how that's coming along. I'm stuttering here. digital cameras and what the storage system that you think will be one of the future. I was kind of thinking about those mini CDs and looking for a digital camera that came out with that storage system.
I'm not an expert on digital cameras, but I have seen the variety of them at CES. And upsettingly, they use about five different kinds of memory cards. Some of them use the IBM micro drive. I was discussing that little tiny hard drive. Some will actually burn a CD right in the camera. And there's a new one coming out that will burn a DVD right in the camera. So it increases the storage capability. They're all in a state of flux, basically, as far as the storage medium they're going to use. Now, as far as the image quality, it's becoming fantastic. We're up to over 3 megapixels. There'll be 4 megapixels this year. Within 5 years, we'll be up to 8 megapixels. Image devices, and at that point you will absolutely have to have a recordable DVD in the camera because memory cards won't be able to hold the images. They'll be so enormous as far as the amount of data required unless the memory cards get up into the much, much larger than they are now.
Right. The ones that are around, either you've got the, if you use these floppy things, the old ones, well then that just store one picture on there.
Right.
And it seems to me that so you think that the DVD disc, just wait a little while before I buy one and wait till that becomes prominent?
Well, the thing is, most people don't need that kind of quality. I bought a 2-megapixel digital camera, And I find the image quality to be quite astounding. It's, you can blow it up to 8x10 and still looks fantastic. Even slightly larger than that looks fantastic. You can't make posters from it. Most people don't make posters of their photos. The 8 megapixel level is where the experts claim that digital imaging will cross over a 35 millimeter film and the image quality will be about the same as far as resolution, as far as actually the density of the image. So you could make a poster and not tell the difference between digital and film. But most people, 2 to 3 megapixels will get better pictures than they've been enjoying with normal film for their average everyday use. And therefore, they can use compact flash or one of the storage cards. It's only when you get up in these extremely high-resolution images that you need this extended storage capability. I bought a 96-megabyte memory card for my camera, and at the best resolution, it stores something like 80 images, and at the normal resolution, it stores about 200 and some odd images, and at the lowest resolution, it stores over 500 or 600 images.
Ah.
So you can get plenty of storage on a compact flash card or any of the other. Compact flash is the leader right now, though it has some competition from other memory. The industry keeps doing this to itself all the time. There are now five different memory storage cards. There's Smart Media, Compact Flash, Secure Digital, Memory Stick, Multimedia Memory Card, and none of them are compatible with each other.
Yeah, and you don't know where to go with that. It's like I don't want to buy another 8-track.
Right. Right now, Compact Flash is the leader in that. I'd say 80% of the digital cameras now use Compact Flash, but several companies would like to change that because Compact Flash has the fewest number of patents on it, and therefore nobody's making a big profit from using it. And they want to go to memory cards that both have copy protection, where they can control what you copy with them if you're using them. The same cards work for audio files on an MP3 player. And also where they can get a bigger royalty because they invented the card and have more patents on it.
The other thing I didn't want to do, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. Hello?
Well, we lost you now.
We lost him. Sorry right. about it. Oh, there he's back.
I want to buy a larger TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you started talking about all the things that are coming down the pipe, it sounded like you were talking Chinese. You just rattled off all these things, and it's just like a mystery. It's like hearing a foreign language. And I go to the TV place, and everybody says, oh, yeah, that's really great. Oh, yeah, you ought to buy that. And it seems to me, again, are they just trying to pawn them off on me because they know that they're going to go to out of style and they just want to get rid of them? And I get fearful when I go there, and I'd really like to get into a larger screen, and I'd like to have something that'll last for 10 years and not feel like when the kid comes in and says, boy, you really got a little TV, don't you, into your office. But I don't know what to buy.
Well,
I don't know where to go with TV.
If you buy a TV today that's digital ready, and it will take an adapter box. It has the inputs, a component video inputs for an adapter box. It won't become obsolete overnight. It won't show high definition, but it will show the best quality from digital programming short of high definition using one of the various, several companies now have adapters that are about $400 or $500 that will take the digital signal off the air from HD TV broadcasts and display it as best that set can display it. That's the critical thing. There are TVs, many of them out now. You pay a somewhat of a premium for this feature, but that's what is worth it because any TV can be adapted for the new digital broadcast with this box, but they won't always, if they don't have the right inputs, they won't give you the maximum picture quality. So that's my advice. Nowadays, you really should either wait a year because prices are coming down on these digital sets. In fact, Zenith announced they may have a digital-ready set for $1,000 with a fairly large screen. As far as the display mechanisms, they're evolving, but you're not going to have anything revolutionary. I mean, digital light projection is something coming down the pike, but it's still fabulously expensive. And digital light processing, what I meant. So I would wait, if you're a perfectionist, I'd wait a year or two. If you still can go out and buy a TV now, as long as it has those component video inputs and can work with one of the adapters. Also, most of the newer DVD players that are coming out have the component video outputs. And as long as you can use those, then you get the maximum quality from existing both DVDs and broadcast.
Our guest this morning here on Focus 580, Rich Warren. He's consumer electronics reviewer and columnist. He has regular column appears in the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette, and also his writing appears in other sorts of specialty publications that deal with audio and video. And every once in a while, he's here, and we do these shows to talk about what's new in the way of TVs, DVDs, CDs, VCRs, and all those other letters. And your questions are welcome. 333 800-222-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Evansville, Indiana is next. Line number four.
Good morning.
Yes.
Thanks for having the show.
Sure.
I was wondering if you know whether they are coming out with or have now available DVD players that will play the MPEG-4 DivX. Are you familiar with the DivX, the MPEG-4?
Yeah, now, first of all, we have to talk that the DivX that he's talking about is not related to the DivX that Circuit City was marketing a couple of years ago. It's a totally it's done as an irony. They took this MPEG-4 video standard and named it DivX as a joke. So it's not related to those people who had the subscription discs where you had to pay to watch the disc. Just want to make that clear. At this point, I know of no DVD players that will play that format. I have heard talk that there will be DVD players that will play the format. It's mainly designed for computers and for internet transmission. That's why it's a much more efficient coding system than the existing DVD, MPEG-2. But I don't know of any DVD players now or within this year that will be taking or playing that standard.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, let's go to back here locally to line one in Champaign. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a question about digital images and particularly how to get the best quality out when you're printing them. I have what I think is a rather good printer. It's an Epson that has 720 by 1440 resolution. And yet, whenever I print out digital images, either scanned ones or ones that come from a camera, they're not really as sharp as they advertise they're going to be. What am I doing wrong?
Well, I'm afraid I can't help you. I think one of David's computer experts would probably have to, or his photography expert would have to discuss this with you because, again, that's a whole question of various interfaces between your computer and your printer, and there could be any number of reasons from the drivers in the computer to the printer itself and the print head it uses and all the compatibility issues in between. I've seen these things happen, and I'm not an expert at it. All I can say is that there's so many places where the problem could lie that I think I'd like to refer that to a specialist.
Very good. Sorry for taking your time.
That's okay.
Well, we welcome calls. I know Rich will do his best to give you an answer if it falls within his area of expertise. As he said, it's funny that when we started out doing the shows, pretty much we talked about turntables and CD players and VCRs, and now more and more we're getting into different kinds of things and various kinds of digital devices like computers. So if you have questions, you can call 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. I'm just curious to go back to speakers for a little bit, just because now I know that there are a lot of very good small speakers, quite reasonably priced, that sound just terrific. And there are still speakers out there that are, I don't know, $2,000 a pair, $4,000 a pair.
Those are cheap.
Okay. If guys who are into the high end, who can afford to pay that much, will pay thousands of dollars for a speaker. What do you get when you're paying that much for a speaker? Why would a speaker be $5,000?
You mean 5,000? How about 50?
Okay. Why would you mean you for get, one? So there's somebody's
no,
building
you can,
a
you can prepare for 75,000.
Okay.
Wilson
there
Audio.
What do you get for that?
You get diminishing returns is what you get. there's a fairly initially a steep improvement as you go up until you get to about the $5,000 price point, and then it starts to level out. And by the time you get up to $75,000, the return on your investment is only marginally better than your return on the $5,000 or $6,000 speaker, depending. Now, people, audiophiles are going to call up and say, oh, you know, he's nuts. You got to spend at least $100,000 on your speakers or you're nowhere. Mm-hmm. The truth is that there's so many things that are interdependent. No matter how much you spend on speakers, you have to spend on your room. It's actually more important to acoustically treat your room than to buy expensive speakers because your room acoustics are as important to what you hear as a speaker itself. And, of course, the electronics that drive the speakers. Now, again, people can spend $20,000 on an amplifier. That's ridiculous. I think, again, when you spend over $1,000 on an amplifier, you're getting significantly diminishing returns. I've heard some very good amplifiers. If you go over to one of the local shops who has a high-end thing, and you hear these high-end equipment, it sounds extremely good. But it's not entirely rational. And I've heard some of these incredibly expensive speakers, and they sound really good. I mean, if they're set up just right, in just the right room, you really have the illusion that you're at a performance space that mm-hmm. you're hearing an orchestra in the Great Hall or at a rock concert. And of course, now with multi-channel sound is going to become the standard. You're going to need more than just two speakers to get all this sound, and it's going to get even more expensive. But frankly, you know, at a certain point, as you move up the curve in speakers, you get more bass, smoother high frequency, more smoother treble, and more extended treble response. You get a flatter sound that is not flat in depth, but as far as frequency response, so it's more even. And you get a better what's called stereo image, where you think more and more there's really musicians in the room with you, the illusion, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you get past a certain point. Now, I have expensive speakers at home, and the new models came out were twice as expensive as the ones I have. And I just can't justify buying the new models because, although they do sound a little bit better than what I have, I can't say they're double as good, twice as good. So, you know, it's a questionable when you get past a certain point. What's that point? It's up to your ears. Up to your ears, your room, your budget. Certainly, I'd recommend if you can afford it to spend $3,000 or $4,000 a pair on speakers. I think you get incredibly good sound from that kind of money. But when you get above that point, you're really getting diminishing returns.
Here's a caller, Mount Zion. Let's talk with them. Line one.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things. Can you recommend a program to go from turntable to CDR? There have been some programs out that have claimed to eliminate pops, hiss, things like that when transferring old vinyl to CDs.
Well, yeah, there are quite a few available, some pretty cheaply on the web. I use a Sonic Foundry program called SoundForge, which has a module noise reduction plug-in that works with SoundForge, Sonic Foundry. And it works fairly well. You can actually manually fix some of these things. I mean, you can go and in any audio editing program, expand the screen so you can see the clicks and pops on the screen and go and actually manually take your cursor and mark them and then delete them. And that works in some cases, which actually works better than some of the automated systems because you actually know what you're doing. The automated system sort of makes a judgment and tries to guess at how to get rid of these, and they'll patch it up. And sometimes they do it right, sometimes do it wrong. There are a number of programs. I think there's a thing called Diamond Cut or Diamond Audio Software, which is very good at editing, at cleaning up old recordings or even more recent recordings, taking off away surface noise and clicks and pops. And all I say is that no matter which program you use, use it judiciously. A little goes a long way. Some people said, oh, I'm just going to clean the CD up or this LP up, rather, and they say the program, just do the maximum, do everything. And you end up getting lower fidelity than you started with. So it takes a lot of trial and error, no matter whose software you're using, to get the most beneficial effect. So I can't recommend specific programs other than the ones I've used, which is the Diamond Audio Software, not related to the people who make the cards,
okay.
And also the Sonic Foundry. And you can go, they have demo programs. I think Sonic Foundry has demos, as does Diamond, on the web. I know if you go to www.sonicfoundry.com, they have some demos up of their noise reduction LP restoration. Even a simple program like Easy CD, I think it is, from Adaptec, which comes with many CD burners, has a module called, is it Toast? I think it's some strange name like that, that will clean up your LPs. And actually, it's pretty effective in doing so. It's not always accurate and doesn't have a lot of manual settings, but so you don't have to spend a lot of money. I mean, you can get that for $80 with your Easy CD Creator and try that out.
Okay, that's one part. The other part is, when will the CD on demand, shall we say, come to effect? There have been some talk that they can press lower production runs of some of these, how shall we say, obsolete or out-of-print LPs. And are we coming to that time when you can actually, you know, write to the manufacturer or email the manufacturer, Sony, whatever, and say, I'd like a CD of this old recording, and they'll press one and just send it out to you?
Not at this point, because it's not economically viable for them. However, already one company is doing that, Smithsonian Folkways, which inherited the entire Folkways record label and a few other traditional music labels, will, in fact, custom press CDs for you. If you tell them you want one of the old Smithsonian or the old Folkways recordings that they decided not to issue in a mass-produced CD, I think for $25 or $30, they will custom record a CD for you and then give you a complete package with the album notes and everything. As part of that, and they will do it on an individual one CD basis. But they're the only ones I know of that are doing that on a regular offering to the public. Most of it comes like Sony and Warner's. they don't want to talk to deal with anything less than the millions. They don't think in the terms of, even if they charge $50 a disc, it's not profitable for them to do a one-off of a recording. Plus, the master tapes are missing from a lot of these recordings, so they can't even reissue them.
Okay. And have you seen some of the digital video that our local cable companies have been offering?
Well, no, because I live out in the country, and we don't have cable. So I have not had a chance really to look at that. All I have is satellite, and that's been pretty good. But I have not. I can't judge the digital cable here in town because I haven't really seen it.
Unfortunately, our local cable company has been compressing some of the images so much, though, that it looks like an ECG or what's one up from CGA?
Oh, EGA, yeah.
EGA. It almost looks like an EGA image. You can see the grays, you know, banding from scene to, from shift to shift. There, it's. If this is the future of digital, give me analog, please.
Well, it's not. Don't blame it on digital. Blame it on the cable company. If there's any way to wreck quality, cable companies will find it. And I've talked to many people in town who have cable, and I've also done, at the Consumer Electronics Show, there's a lot of discussion. Cable companies don't care about, for the most part, don't care about quality. They care about the maximum number of channels and the maximum return on investment. And if they can give you 20 channels of good quality or 50 channels of mediocre quality, they're going to go for the 50 channels of mediocre quality every day of the week. In fact, even some of the satellite systems are starting to compromise now by trying to get more channels up. Every channel the satellite system adds, they have to steal bandwidth from another channel.
Exactly.
So they have to compress the signal more. So you may get the best signal on live sports, for example, on an NFL football game on a Sunday. The football game will look great, and all the other channels look terrible because they're taking all the bandwidth to give you the football game.
Right.
And, it's a strictly dollars and cents free market decision on the provider's part, and those of us who enjoy good quality really have little to say about it. Fortunately, DVDs, there is an incentive to make great quality DVDs. I don't know how many listeners have watched The Perfect Storm on DVD, for example, but that is a phenomenal transfer from film to digital video, and probably the single best technically DVD I've seen. Warner Brothers did an incredible job on that transfer. And, so you can get that kind of quality on DVD. And with the upcoming digital television, well, who knows what's going to happen, because the broadcasters just don't really want to broadcast HDTV, and the FCC is pushing them toward it, kicking and screaming, and they're just not going. And the FCC is thinking of mandating that a digital receiver has to be built in every TV set sold, even if it's an analog TV. And that's coming down the pike, and the consumer electronics industry is fighting that. And meanwhile, the commission's saying to the broadcasters, if you don't start broadcasting digital, we're going to take away that free channel we gave you, which is worth millions, in some cases hundreds of millions of dollars. And it's a very strange situation we're in. And, of course, one of the problems, the broadcasters say, well, we do digital transmission. The cable companies won't carry it because the cable companies don't want to spend the bandwidth of their precious cable carrying digital signals from the local TV stations. So basically, the public is the one that loses out, and we're not going to. We're in a very strange period of transition. I think from now until probably 2010, it's going to be a huge sea change in every possible way in the way we are entertained and the way we receive our entertainment, the quality of that entertainment. And short of going to see a live performance, everything is up for grabs.
Okay. Will our DVDs be playable on the new digital TVs, or will there be?
Yes.
Players compatible? We have to get a whole new...
No, every player will be backwards compatible. That is, when the high-definition DVD players come out in three years or so, using the blue lasers, they will still play existing DVDs. One thing the industry has agreed upon is that everything should be backward compatible. And in fact, to that extent now, they're even revamping a lot of the DVD players. Newer models coming out will even play CD recordable, which they couldn't play in the past.
Right.
So the goal is to make sure that future technologies will play, as long as it's laser scanned and uses the same size disc, it will play. If they change the disc size or stop using the laser, we might be in trouble. But I think for the next 10 years, you'll be able to buy a player 5 or 6 years from now to still play the DVDs you bought today.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. And you're quite welcome. Our guest this morning here on the Sparta Focus 580, consumer electronics writer Rich Warren. If you have questions about these things we've been talking about, or, turntables or VCRs, I don't know if anybody still has those, but VCRs or amplifiers or turntables or, you know, any and all of this kind of stuff, you can give us a call. 333-WILL or 9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Here's a caller next in Chicago. Line four. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm a little late, so I beg your pardon if I ask the same question.
That's fine.
I won't risk to relax because I'm not going to parse him about the DVD recorder anymore.
It's coming.
Just take it easy. I'm not going to, you know, don't. I'm not going to ask a question about it, but I will ask you this question. Do you think the T-Bowl and all these other things we're hearing about these hard drives, do you think they could replace the VCR?
Yeah.
Right now they're only doing 30 hours, and that really isn't very much.
No, but what you're going to see in the next few years is combination. Now, again, this involves copyrights and all that kind of thing. But the ultimate goal is to have a hard drive and a DVD recorder in the same box.
Uh-huh.
And the hard drive will record your TV shows. And the ones you want to save, you'll press a button and you'll burn them onto a DVD. And now the question is, does the content provider, does the film studio, the TV network, et cetera, want you to be able to do that? Because once you burn on a DVD, it might be permanent. Of course, now there'll be DVD re-recordables like there are CD re-recordables, erasable and re-recordable. The technology is available.
Oh, it's available now for us.
Well, I mean, in a year or two, the technology will be available. I mean, DVD recordable is available now.
Well, you know what's going to come in the future? Probably super DVDs or something like that.
Well, yes, high definition.
Yeah.
But the question, you know, WILL had an interview this morning on the morning program with a professor talking about digital watermarks and copyrights. And he was a little bit in error when saying that DVD was ready 4 years before it arrived, but it was held up by copyrights. Well, it was actually 6 months. The technical system was not quite finished. I was there watching it being developed. But the truth is that right now we're entering an era where anything is going to be possible technically, technologically.
Now, I'm going to ask you another question because I have cable. Even when I'm visually impaired, I have cable. Just like everyone else, I like to be on top of things. And I just recently ordered digital. And they have all these packages, but it seems to me that cable prices are exceptionally high. And what I'd like to know is, do you think that eventually the satellite companies are going to come in and say, look, we can give you more for less?
Well, they already do, basically. Now, the satellites, see, outside of the Champaign-Urbana market, outside small markets, in major cities, the satellite companies are carrying local TV stations.
That's right.
Like cable. Except now, it's getting more complicated because the satellite companies went to court to get the right to broadcast local TV stations. So in revenge, the broadcaster said, okay, then you have to carry all the local TV stations, including Home Shopping Network and all the ones that nobody ever watches.
That's
right. So suddenly they're losing bandwidth because
cable access.
There's 50 stations in a market they've got to carry instead of they just wanted to carry the networks, Fox, Warner Brothers, PBS. And so instead of carrying 7 or 8 or 9 stations, they have to carry 20 or 30, and that's chewing up their bandwidth, which is why Champaign-Urbana, for example, will never get local stations on satellite.
Well, I don't get it. If a cable company or satellite says, we can give you 32 HBOs. Now, we know HBO only has 4 channels. Is that simulcasting?
Well, yeah. There's more than 4 channels of HBO now, but yeah, it gets very complicated. And it's as much legal and copyrights and all these other issues as it is technical issues. And we're in an era that's unprecedented in home entertainment.
It boggles the mind because with the digital, you can almost, with the high definition TV and the high definition DVDs, you can almost get an exact reproduction of the studio quality program. And I guess that's what they're worried about.
That's exactly what they're worried about.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure. Well, thanks for the call. We'll go on here. Line number 2. This is Urbana. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions, but if you have other listeners that are calling in, you know, just stop me. First question has to do with, I've got some older VCRs. One has a tracking problem in the fact that you have to, you know, like if you had it in the center, now to try and play a tape, you got to go all the way over to the right
mm-hmm.
to even get something, and now it's to the point where the sound is real bad. And I'm just not sure if it's worth repairing something like that these days or just going out and get another VCR. I didn't even know where to go to actually get something like that repaired.
Well, there are still some very competent local technicians here in Champaign-Urbana, for example. But frankly, I hate to cost them business, but unless you had a particularly expensive and terrific model of a VCR,
mm-hmm.
you can buy a hi-fi VCR now at a major brand for $150.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're disposable. So I would just go out and buy a new one at this point because unless your old model was something that was really special, it's probably not worth repairing.
Okay. The other question is I had a turntable a long time ago, and it died on me. I think they're now costing about $100 or something like that, but I've only got like 15, 20 albums that I even want to just get transferred over. Is anybody doing any sort of service to transfer that type of stuff over onto a CD? Because then I wouldn't really care about the albums anymore.
I've heard of, well, first of all, you run into the Kinko's dilemma, where the albums are copyright, and therefore legally they're not supposed to transfer them for you, even if you own them yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I transferred some albums myself, and then went to get the covers copied to Kinko's, and they said, oh, you can't copyright these album jackets, they're copyrighted.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid any commercial enterprise would run into the same problem, so you pretty much have to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'd borrow a turntable, find a friend that has one and borrow it for 8 or 10 hours and do your own copying, because I doubt you're going to find anybody who legally can do it for you.
Yeah. And then I've been hearing all the stuff about the TiVos, and I've been looking at that thing for a long time. I'm just a little concerned with, you know, right now it seems like they have two competing systems. They got the TiVo and they got the Replay.
Right.
And a little concerned if you go into something like that, that, you know, as he says, you end up with an 8-track system.
Well, TiVo is very well financed. In fact, that's one of its problems, is that it actually has money from the networks and from the Hollywood film studios, and it looks like it's going to survive. Replay, which I think is a slightly better system,
mm-hmm.
Has less financial backing. In fact, they've stopped making their own players and have left it to Panasonic now to market the system.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they survive, I don't know, but I know that this concept is going to be around for a long time. This is the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Replay will probably eke it out. So there probably is room for two competing systems. And at some point, they might even merge, and therefore you won't end up with an 8-track, but I wouldn't bet my life on it. So definitely this is going to be around for a while. But which system is the ultimate winner, I have no idea.
But you're thinking jumping into it now, you're definitely being an early adopter, which has a tendency to cause some problems.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think we're past the experimental stage, and now it's becoming a pretty refined product, and they've gotten most of the bugs out of it. So you're on the early side, but you're not the earliest adopter anymore. You're at the beginning of the curve, but not at the very start of it. You know, not before they actually became successful.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Well, thanks much.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to southeastern Illinois, line one. Hello.
Yes, I don't really have any pressing question here today, but just the muddle of equipment anymore. I mean, it seems like you don't know which way to move. I've started getting Sound and Vision on Talking Book, National Library Service, and for one thing, you didn't mention something that the latest issue that I've received in recorded form sort of concentrates on, and that's audio DVD. What's your opinion on that? I mean, it seems like as soon as they get one format, they come along with another format.
Well, I'll give you a capsule summary. Is that DVD audio is supposed to address all the ills of CD. It has higher sampling rates. It has bigger digital words, more bits. It could be 24-bit or 20-bit instead of 16-bit. Unfortunately, there's very little software available. And so it's not also, I've talked to some manufacturers, and even though they're making players for it, they're not enthused yet. They said that it's still pretty in the developmental. Let's talk about early adopters, that you're still in the early adopter stage of DVD audio. It won't replace CD. It's going to be more expensive. The discs are $25 instead of $16 or $15. And the fidelity is definitely better. It does sound more analog. It sounds more like the finest old LPs in the sense that it has the wider bandwidth. But I don't even want to address it yet. There's a competing system called SACD, which also has very few releases out. And a year and a half ago, the cheapest SACD player was $4,000, and now Sony introduced one at CES for $400,
yeah,
which is the fastest decrease in price in the history of consumer electronics for a technology, from $4,000 to $400 in a year.
Super audio CD.
Yeah, and that is also uses a CD-sized disc, but a different technology, actually superior technology to DVD audio, but who knows which system is going where. So I don't want to really address it, because DVD audio has a lot of potential, and it could be a really great system, but we'll see if it takes off.
On that satellite business, another time I was talking on the program, mentioned something that Dish Network was doing that they stopped doing, and I think it was a big step backward. When I first signed up for Dish Network, they had dish picks where you could pick 10 channels that you particularly wanted, and then, you know, they were, I think, about $1.50 a piece compared to about 30 cents if you got a big package. But they have quit that, and the technology is there now that they can let people get the channels that they really want to get, and if they're willing to pay a little more for them, I don't know why they wouldn't. Well, they said that there was, I guess, too much shuffling around. People were calling in too much, I guess, to change their lineup. But it's like if it were a magazine, you had to get Reader's Digest and Cosmopolitan in order to subscribe to Business Week.
It's all a matter of maximizing profits. That's all that it's about. And they're going to go whatever way they can make the most money.
I'm going to jump in here and apologize to one caller that we can't take, but we're pretty much at the end of the time. I'm sure on another day, Rich will come back and we can do it again because there's always going to be something new.
Oh, every week.
If you're here in Champaign-Urbana, of course, you can look for his column in the News Gazette, where you can learn some things about new developments in the field. And also, while we're talking about having things fixed, a little later in the week, we will be talking about audio-video maintenance and repair with Greg Danner from the Audio-Video Service Center in Urbana. So maybe if you're having some trouble, we might be able to do a little troubleshooting there.
He'll tell you to bring your old VCR in for repair.
That's right. Yeah. And you can do that. And thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Rich Warren. Also, you might tune in for the Midnight Special. Here it's on Friday nights at 11 o'clock on our station, WYLL FM, and others around the country.
If you live in Chicago, it's on WFMT at 9 o'clock at 98.7.
Very good. Thanks very much.